We're in a series called Under Construction. We're in a series within a series, and it's called How God Builds Our Finances, and this is part two. Are you guys glad to be in the house of God? Listen, if you came here for the first time, we want to give you a hand clap. Let me tell you why. Because going to church for the first time is the hardest thing you can do. And guess what? You made it. I don't know why, but we have social anxieties when we have to go to a new place, especially a place like church. Because we think it's like weird place, scary place, where they sacrifice animals. And no, we do not do that. Our bodies is a living sacrifice to Jesus. So we present ourselves to Jesus. And so we're so glad that you're here. And like Van said, we have a gift for you in the lobby. Stop by and receive it. I want to talk to you before I go into my message of a little thing that can change somebody's life forever. Okay? In my hand, I'm holding a card. It's called an invite card. And I want to invite my sister. Is she here? Yeah. Tammy, would you, and your daughter, would you come out a second? I want them to give them a hand. All right. Tell us your name.
My name is Tammy Gold.
Shannon Gold.
All right. So, last Sunday after the service, Tammy comes up to me full of tears. And I'm like, what happened? My money message touched you so much? She's like, no. Wasn't that. She said, during our Cross Equals Love campaign, how many of you remember that? That was our Easter month campaign. We were doing random acts of kindness. So what we would do is we would go to McDonald's and we would pay for somebody, or like a coffee store, and we would pay for somebody in the back of us, you know, just different random acts of kindness. And so Tanya, my wife, was going through 41st Street McDonald's. Tell us what happened.
It was the day when I was working, and I worked through the drive-thru on McDonald's on 41st in Minnesota. And this lady comes up, and she ordered something and paid something. And all of a sudden, she gets this big, beautiful red, kind of like a rainbow card. And she says, hopefully you can make one of our service Friday, which is Good Friday or Sunday Easter. It shocked me a little bit because someone's giving it to me. Because I deal with a lot of people, and I see a lot of people saying, I want to pay the card behind me. And when I do that, and the card comes up, and say, you've been paid. And they're really shocked. But then receiving it from somebody giving a card to invite me to a church. And that's kind of what I've been looking for, a church, and my daughter, too. And I said to my daughter, let's try it.
Let's try it. And they came on Easter, and they've been here ever since. Your mom told me that you, every morning, you wake her up. What do you do? Tell us.
I have a 2-year-old daughter. She normally wakes up around 8, 9 o'clock. So then I wake up, I bring my daughter into her and wake her up and say, are we going to church or not? And some days she says yes, sometimes she says no because of her work, but normally it's a yes, so that's why we're here.
Guys, listen, one little card, and Van says this all the time. Did you know that by inviting somebody, you can change somebody's life for eternity? It really happens. Give them another hand. Thank you, ladies, for your testimony. Thank you. We have these in the lobby. Grab some and bring somebody with you. Because when you invite somebody to church, you can change their life for eternity. Amen. Amen. All right. Today, we're in how God builds our finances. This is not a popular topic to talk in church about finances. But if we're honest, all of us have struggled with our finances. My topic and my message is not to ask you for a giving. That's not what it is. Because God has so much word and wisdom for you to live by that would help you and change your life and transform your life, that giving is just a little part of it. So God wants to do something for you, not get something from you. Would you agree? God wants something for you, than something from you. A lot of times people falsely believe that money is evil. And I say this, if money is evil, then why does God require you to bring your tithe into the house, into the church? Money is not evil. Money is a tool that can be used for good or evil. And so if you understand that Solomon says everything in this world you have to pay with money. Silver pays for everything. So even if we wanted to reach people who are far from God, that's our vision, we need money to reach people. If you wanted to do something good for somebody, you have to use money or your time. Money or your time, but still, your time is money. Last night, we were driving from youth camp, stopped by at a gas station, and I'm not bragging, it just happened. So don't think that I do this all the time. But I'm paying for my drink. You know, I get a 44-ounce of Diet Coke, okay? And so I'm paying for my drink. She's like, oh, you just got a drink? Oh, just go. She's just like, don't pay for it. I'm like, huh. And then I'm overhearing, they're talking to a man. He looks kind of raggedy, kind of, you know, not very clean, not very, you know. And then I look outside the window and I see his car, and it's very beat up, old Oldsmobile, okay? And he's talking about how I can get the money. I'll just have to go get it. He filled this car for $25, but he only had five. And I don't know how you do that, but he just did, okay? And so he's talking, and they're like, well, we can't really let you leave this gas station. And I just grab my drink, and I'm happy. Wow, God, you're blessing me. Walking out of the gas station, and something tells me, go pay for him. Go pay for him. And I'm like, ah. You know how you have that thousand thoughts in your head at that moment. And so I turned around, and I said, how much is it? He tells me, $20. So I pay for him, and he's like, thank you, thank you. And then he says, I believe in karma. You know, what you give will come back to you. I said, I believe in the love, sowing and reaping, that God will bless those who sow. And so I receive it from you. And I said, God bless you. And he has tears in his eyes. He said, thank you. Thank you for doing that. I couldn't do that if I didn't have any money. So although money is not everything in our life, we do need money to live. I want to read a scripture before I tell you a story. It's Ephesians chapter 4, 28. It says this, let him who stole steal no longer. That's not the part I want to focus on today. But rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. So God wants you to have enough money for yourself and to give to those in need, to give to the kingdom of God, to give to the works of God, to reach people far from God, to help those who are in need. So really, God wants you to be blessed financially. That's the truth. Did you know that over 2,000 verses in the Bible talk about finances? 500 on prayer, 500 on faith, over 2,000 about money. Jesus talked more about money than heaven and hell and prayer combined. Jesus talked a lot about money. Why? Because money is such a private thing. Money is such a need that we have. We're so connected to our money. You know, we can give our life to Jesus because that's just words sometimes. But when it comes to giving money, that's the last thing that we let go of. How do you know somebody's completely following Jesus? They're able to let go of some money. You remember rich young ruler? He had everything. He was moral. He was a governor, or at least the mayor of his city. He had everything. And Jesus said, what about your money? And he said, no. He said, sell stuff and come follow me. And this rich young ruler got upset because he was holding on to his money. Money is the last thing to go. You say you don't care about money, but you really do. Because it's really hard for you to give the money to something other than yourself. So Bible says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has a need. When Tanya and I first got married, we had no idea how important finances are to our family. Would you agree that in marriage, money is very important? And when you don't have any, you fight a lot about it. When you have some, when you have your finances under control, then you don't fight about it so much. You don't even talk about money. But when you don't have enough, it's like a constant battle. We got married, and before we got married, Tanya's dad set me down and said, Tanya's young, are you sure you can financially provide for her? I was like shocked because nobody ever asked me that question, you know. It's the first woman I've asked to marry me. So, you know, I'm like, well, yeah, of course I'm going to provide. And that's always been in the back of my head. I have to provide. And as men, it is our responsibility to provide for our families. And so we got married, and we were really bad with our money. And see, this series is going to teach you how God blesses us with money. It's going to teach us how to invest, so you can't skip any services. See, I got you locked in. One message won't do you any good. One message will just whet your appetite. Okay? So you got to come back. I had no idea how important the money is. My job was a seasonal job, so I worked through the summer, and in the winter, we almost had no work. And every stinking year, we were broke. And so here I am selling stuff just to pay the bills. We're 3 months behind on our house payment. They're canceling our cell phone at the worst time ever because our bills are not paid for. And so obviously we had a lot of fights about money. You don't know the kind of stress money will put on your marriage. You know, when we got married, we believed this universal truth. All we need is love, baby. We don't need no money, honey. All we need is love. You know, and then when we got married, we said, love is good, but I need some money. Love is not going to pay the bills. God began to, over the years, teach us about money. And that's what I'm going to teach you. And today I want to tell you that we're debt-free in everything in our life except our mortgage. And that's not bad. We can cover that. And when we got married, our two vehicles was not paid. Our business was not paid. We had taxes that were not paid. We own people money. We own her parents' money. That's how it was. You know what I'm talking about. Come on. Come on. I'm not the only one. The reason I share these things, so you don't think that it just happened overnight, that God just blessed one person and won't bless you. No, God blesses everybody. The principles of money is here. You can take them or you can ignore them. You can live by wisdom, or you can live depending on miracles. Jesse Duplantis said this, you live on miracles. I will live on wisdom. Hold on. We'll get there. Some of you have no idea what I just said. See, a lot of people, we live from paycheck to paycheck. We rely on God, a miracle. Somehow the money will come in. And God promises that he will take care of us. But God didn't say when he was going to take care of you that everything will be, you know, easy. Because he says there's wisdom too. I'm going to get there, okay? The most frequent prayers in that time that I had, and I don't pray this a lot right now, but I used to pray this a lot. And if you're struggling financially, you pray this prayer. God, bless my finances. I get tired of praying that prayer. What, Pastor? I wanted to pray prayers that God bless, save more people. God, use me to do more things. I got tired of praying, God, bless my finances. Aren't you tired of just praying that prayer? God, bless my finances. And it wasn't that I wasn't making enough money. It was just we didn't use Bible and the principles and the rules and the laws, spiritual laws of finance that would help us. When we started using them, we got out of debt pretty quick. And today, debt-free feels way better than being broke. Before, when we wanted to buy something, that we just say, okay, we don't have any money, let's go get some credit. Let's go to another bank and get credit. Or a card. Yeah, thank you. Now, we say, well, let's save up. We want this, right? So let's just save up a little bit, and once we have the money, let's go and buy it. It feels so much better. So much less stress. Some of you are like, God, give me peace, 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 peace. And God says, get your finances in order, and they'll bring you peace in your life. Because when your bills are not paid, you can't have any peace. Yeah. I mean, what do you want God to do? Put you in a state of a drug thing where you don't feel anything? That's not going to be good. So the most frequent prayer was, God bless my finances. Have you ever prayed that prayer? If you have, then this sermon series is for you. So the question is, how does God bless our finances? Number one, and there's 3 points. God blesses our finances through work. Exodus 34:21. Some of you are like, whoa. Read it with me. 6 days you shall, but on the seventh day you shall rest. In plowing time and in harvest you shall rest. Some of you work on Sundays. That's not good. 6 days you shall work. Some of you work, rest 6 days. And then Sunday, suddenly you get a job. Bible says, no, no, no. Do it the opposite way. Work 6 days, and on the seventh day, you shall rest. Many Christians hold absolutely unbiblical view of work. Some view work as a curse, or at least part of the curse of living in a fallen world. That's how some people look at it. Some of you are so unhappy because you have to work. We had a dinner last week with our friends here at church, and they own a business. He told me this. He said his 27-year-old worker said came to work one day and said, I am mad at the world. He said, why? Because I have to come to work. I'm mad at the world because I have to come to work. That's the kind of attitude people have these days about work. But work, biblically, is not a curse. Work is a channel how God chooses to bless us. Some are like, what? Work is a channel of how God chooses to bless us. Others have another false view of money and distorted view of money. They divide their work, sacred work, like church work, ministry, and they divide their secular work. And they say, well, I work here, but then this is not sacred and this is sacred. And listen, Bible says this, that whatever you do, spiritual, you're a construction person, you're a prayer person, you're an evangelist, you're an usher, you work with kids, those are all in one. All that brings glory to God. Bible says, whatever you do in work and in deed, do it for the glory of God. Even when you resting, do it for the glory of God. Even when you drink an apple juice or eat an apple, do it for the glory of God. Your sex life should be for the glory of God. Yeah, you're married. your time of resting should be for the glory of God. Do you work? Man, God gave us that responsibility to work. And Paul says to men, he says, whoever does not work, let him not eat. Man, it is our job to make sure. You know, it's easy to get somebody pregnant. It's easy. Anybody can do it. You don't have to be a genius. It's natural. Animals do it, and they're not that smart. Ants do it. I mean, mice do it. And we do experiments on them. But so it's not hard. But working and providing for your family. Ladies, before you marry a guy, make sure he's a hard worker. Make sure he could be hot and cute and everything in between. But if he doesn't work, drop him. Just say, you know, we could be friends, church friends. I'll see you at church on Sunday. I'll say hello. I'll sit by you, no problem. With my husband who works hard. I'm not trying to be mean or funny, but it's true. Others, there's a third group of people. They make work into an idol. Some of you are workaholics. You work way too much. Your identity and your purpose in life comes from your work. You try to find fulfillment from your work. And I fall into that category. I love to work. I'm a workaholic. And I used to be proud of that. Till God says, no, 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 too much. You're too intense. You're too something else. If you're a workaholic, something more important in your life is being dropped. And mostly it's your family and relationship with God. So there's these things. When God placed Adam in the Garden of Eden, you remember that? First man, guess what he did? He didn't say, Adam, just chill, drink a cold one, get some grapes and smash them and put them in the hot sun for a while, let it ferment and just enjoy yourself. No, God said, I want you to work. Listen to this. Genesis 2, verse 15 says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. To tend means to take care of it. And to keep it, make sure it doesn't grow too many weeds. Make sure the trees are trimmed and taken care of. And the broken branches are being removed. Tend the garden. Adam was to work. God wants us to work. So this thing that God says to Adam, I want you to work, that was before the fall. That was before sin came into the world. So work is not a curse. Work is a good thing. Most of us don't have to worry about a workaholic thing. Some of us need to work and provide for our families. 6 days you shall work. This is the verse for workaholics. But on the seventh day you shall rest. Seventh day is the Sunday, right? In plowing time and in harvest time. So Bible says even You know how we use an excuse. Well, it's my busiest time of the year. I can't rest. God says, rest. Jesus said Sabbath or seventh day was not made for itself. It was made for a man to help him, to rest him, so you can be productive on the first day again. So how does God bless us financially? Through work. Through work. Work is good. Turn to your neighbor and say, work is good. Did you know that God works? Okay. Focus. Focus. Did you know that God works? Bible says God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. My question is, what happened on the eighth day? Is God in heaven sitting there just chilling all the time, relaxing, you know, just looking at everything, smiling? What is God doing? Well, Jesus gave us a clue, okay? Let's read John 5:17. But Jesus answered them and says, my Father has been working until now. So this is about 6,000 or 5,000 years after the creation, right here. My Father has been working until now. So God works. There's a difference between work and toil, meaning you're stressed, or work that you enjoy. Would you agree? There's a difference. God doesn't toil. God doesn't work in a sweat of his brow. That comes part of the curse. And God is blessed, not cursed. But God still works. And listen to this. My Father has been working until now. That's God. Jesus is my Father, God. And I have been working. So Jesus works. Some of you think pastors only work one day a week. That's not true. There's a lot of work. There's a lot of work in ministry. It takes a lot to put one service together. So Jesus worked. God blesses us through work. Through work. Proverbs 14:24. The crown of wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools in folly. 2 Thessalonians 3:11. Paul says this, for we hear that there are some who walk among you in disorderly manner, not working at all, but being busybodies. If you're not going to work, you're going to be a busybody. You're still going to be busy. And a lot of times people say, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I'm like, why weren't you working? What were you doing there at 11 o'clock in the morning on Monday morning? Why were you at that house at that party? Why weren't you at work? God wants us to work, because our financial blessing comes through work. One of the tubes that come from heaven is through work. Okay? A lot of times we quote this scripture. The money of the rich will come into the lives of the godly people. The wealth of the wicked. What is that verse? Help me out. Is store up for the righteous. And we love to quote that. Really, that's kind of greedy of us. Say, God, take the money from the rich and give it to us without work. But let me tell you how God wants to bring financial blessing into your life is through work. Through work. So I'm like, easy for you to say, preacher, all you do is sit in office all day. Right? Not so. Let me explain to you something. I used to work heavy physical work, cutting down trees, climbing 100-footers, 110-footers. He called me monkey. Many times. And so I was dreaming. I said, God, I know I'm in ministry. When is it going to be where I could go into the office? And I work in the church office on Tuesday and Thursday and Friday half day. That's my office day. So if you want to come, I'm going to be here on Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday half a day. That's all my days at work. And then the rest of the time, I work in the business world. Okay? And so I used to say, God, if you give me an office job, I really appreciate. I could spend more time with you. I can prepare the messages more and things like that. But what I didn't know that in the office you have to work just as hard to accomplish anything, to be successful, as you had to work with physical hands. That I believe working in office is harder than working in the field, in construction work, in landscaping, in building bridges and houses. And I believe it's harder to work in the office. Because in the office, when you build a house, you see the results. When you change your roof, you see a result, Ryan, right? You see it. But when you work in the office, you don't necessarily see the result. And the work never stops. And there's so many distractions in the office, right? There's Facebook. There's email. There's Twitter. There is Instagram. There's Snapchat. What else is there? so many distractions, and it takes effort to sit there and actually get something done. Man, right? Office work for me is harder than physical work. So that brings me to a second point. You ready for this? God blesses us when we work in a place of our assignment. God blesses us when we work in a place of our assignment. Some of you are called to physical work, right? Some of you are called. I just seen somebody go, you're not called to physical work then, bro. Some of us are called into an office work, or, you know, more with a mind work. Just remember, or with your mouth, okay? Or with your eyes, or I don't know what it is. Some of you are called to do physical work. Some of you are called to do mental work. For me, physical work is easier work, although I'm tired at the end of the day. After trying both, I'm like, God, I'd rather be in the field working, you know, physically. Come on, somebody, come on. But there's others, and they should be really doing mental work, working with their mind, their mouth, their, you know, creativity and things like that. And they end up sometimes working in a construction. And you see their boss yelling at them all the time. And they're never at the same place, in the right place at the right time. The boss has to point every little detail they have to do. Did you do that? Oh, okay. And I've seen that. Have you seen that, business people? Have you seen that? Have you seen that in your job? Sometimes you want to say, how did you get hired, bro? Sis, how did you get hired? Why are you still working here? Right? Because you were called to be maybe a teacher. And you're good at that. You have a gift for that. And put you into construction and you won't know what to do. And so God blesses us financially when we work in a place of our assignment. Who told you you have to be a construction guy like your uncle? Who told you you have to work in a body shop like your cousin? Get that out of your head. Find a place where God has built you for. Find a place for you. Otherwise, you'll be quitting jobs and you'll be getting fired and things like that. Find a place where you're good at. Ladies, find a place where you're good at. Put my wife in accounting and people will go to jail in that company. But put my wife in creativity and psychology and the whole church will prosper. Help me out here. You see the difference? Find a place where you belong. How do you do that, Pastor? How do you do that? Ask God. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you. He will lead you and guide you into all the truth. Many times, we don't start in a place of our assignment. So sometimes God will lead you to a job and you're like, God, why am I here? Why am I doing this? I remember starting my business. LaVar, you probably know this. I would end up raking leaves in the fall. A lot of leaves. And I'm raking it. And I'm like, God, I know there's more in me. Why am I raking leaves for hours, God? And bags never end. And then when you rake them, and then wind comes in and blows them again. And I have this tarp. And I'm like, God, why am I doing this? And God is like, shut up and work. I didn't know something that God knew. God knew something I didn't know. God wanted to bless me. And eventually, I end up in the tree business. And that's all I was doing. And God blessed it. And I love that type of work. So sometimes you don't start in a place where you finish. Some of you have been stuck in the same place for way too long. Are you looking for opportunities to advance? Because God wants to bless you, but financial blessing comes, more blessing comes to those who take more responsibility. So if you're just working as an employee, you're not going to get paid that much. But when you start going to be supervisor, that's more responsibility. You might have a key to the business and you'll have to open and close. Oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to worry about that. I want to skip job and not worry about people not getting able to get into the building. So I don't want that. Well, then you're going to get paid less. But God wants to bless you, so he'll bring you opportunities to advance. So many times we don't start where we're to finish. So don't get stuck in one place. Let me give you some examples. Do you remember Ruth? How many of you remember Ruth? Right? She had a husband. He died. She had a mother-in-law who was a foreigner living in the land of Moabites. Okay? Her mother-in-law says, I'm going back to Israel. She was an Israelite, and her daughter-in-law was Moabite. And the daughter-in-law says, wherever you go, I will go. She says, but you're going to be a foreigner in our land. And Israelites are not very accepting people, foreigners, right? She's like, fine. She's like, I'll go with you. I love you. I'll go with you. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Doesn't matter how hard it's going to be. She goes back to Israel. There's no jobs. Remember that story? So she takes an apron and goes into the field of Boaz. Boaz. Not broke as, but Boaz. Not dumb as, but Boaz. Not drunk as. I said as, not the other part. What are you guys thinking? But Boaz. Not lazy as, but Boaz. She goes to him, a good man. He's got a big field. He does not hire her. He has plenty of workers. So guess what she does? She takes her apron. She goes on the side in the ditches where the grain still grows, but they didn't harvest that. And she starts working from early morning to late at night, to the point where Boaz notices her, says, who is that woman who's working so hard from morning till night? Oh, I feel the presence of God just talking about this. Okay? Because this is we're talking about how God blesses us. She fills so much, she gathers so much grain on the side of the road. She comes home, and she shows it to her mother-in-law. And mother-in-law's like, did you steal this? Read the Bible. It actually sounds like it. She doesn't actually use those words. She's like, child, where did you get this? Because she got 5 gallons, a big bucket of barley or whatever it was. You remember, you know, 5-gallon bucket. That's a lot of food. She got it in a day. She goes again, and Boaz notices her and says, leave her a little extra for her. He likes her. She's cute. He's not married, okay? Married as. No, don't go for the married as. Go for the Boaz. He recognizes her. Notice, God's blessing flows. God's blessing in the life of Ruth flows through work. She didn't have to work the field for too long. He recognized her. He fell in love with her. He married her. And through her line, through her lineage, King David. Boaz was the grand-grand-grandmother of King David. And through King David came Jesus. Doesn't matter what your background is. Her parents were pagans. Her parents didn't know God, but she saw something. Naomi, her mother-in-law, had to be some woman, right? Where she would leave everything, her father and mother, and would follow her to a foreign land, serve a foreign God that her people never worshipped. And God saw her working. And blessed her. God pours the blessing. Where you start, you don't finish. Young people, don't look for a job that pays $50 an hour. Start somewhere and work your way up. If you don't like working for somebody else, open your own business. This is the America. This is United States. Amen. Work for yourself. Learn from somebody. Don't like your boss? Nobody's holding you. Go work for yourself. Don't like having people tell you what time to come to work? Work for yourself. You can come at 12 if you want to. Might not make anything, but, right? Don't want a boss, work for yourself. But just remember that God's blessing flows on us through work. Through work. Your assignment is in your work. Amen? Joseph, you remember Joseph, and I'm almost done, gets sold as a slave by his brothers. Goes to Potiphar's house. And guess what? Instead of sitting there saying, I'm a slave, I'll do the minimum. Joseph does the maximum. Your job might pay you $9 an hour or whatever the minimum wage is, $9 an hour. But you said, if you have an attitude, I will work the maximum. I'll become number one employee. I will make sure that my boss recognizes that he can't even fire me because I'm so valuable to him, right? And so Joseph begins to work. And what he doesn't realize that at Potiphar's house, God is teaching him business. How to manage things, how to manage animals, farms, the whole, because Potiphar was CIA chief to Pharaoh, okay? So then he gets thrown into prison, and guess what? In prison, you would think Joseph got depressed and stopped working. No, he rises up in the ranks in prison and starts running the prison pretty shortly. Works. Doesn't get paid nothing. He's a slave, and now he's a prisoner. He's working. I'm not talking about... get abused by people. That's not what I'm preaching. I'm talking genuine work. The Bible says, but the Lord was with Joseph. And when you work, God is with you. Don't separate. Well, I'm doing construction, so it's not spiritual. Yes, it is. The Lord was with Joseph in Potiphar's house. The Lord was with Joseph in prison. And guess what? After 14 years, God raises Joseph up and puts him in front of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, can you manage our food system in our country? Because famine is coming. And Joseph says, yes, because I was ready. I was prepared. I was working. I wasn't sitting there in my butt and doing nothing, being a lazy ass. No, I was working. Am I preaching to somebody? I'm going to read Proverbs, because point number three is this. God blesses us financially when we choose wisdom. Wisdom. Some of you choose miracles. Jesse said, I don't want miracle. You can have it. I want wisdom. Miracle is this. I live on everything that I have, and I don't have any savings. And when I lose my job or I go through a hard time in economy, I just say, God, please, I need a miracle. I need a miracle. I need a miracle. God, can you bless my finances? Bless my finances. We're always broke. We don't have an emergency fund. God, please, 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 please. I need a miracle. And then your testimony is good. I'm not laughing at you. I'm not mocking you. God says he takes care of the birds. He'll take care of you, or you'll have little faith, right? But you always live on the last and you're full of stress. You always need a miracle to make that payment. Car payment, house payment, you always need a miracle. There's another way to work, and that's with wisdom. You gotta be here for this series. We have like four more. You gotta be here so you understand how God looks at money. Okay? Scripture. Proverbs 3:13-18. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and a man who gains understanding. For wisdom's proceeds are better than profits of silver, and her gains than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare to her. Length of day is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Last verse 18. She's the tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. You can live relying on miracle, and that's okay. You can choose that life. And sometimes all of us, somewhere in life you will need a miracle. Amen? I've relied on miracles, but I don't want to live, God bless my finances. I want to live where there's a little bit of savings in the bank, where I foresaw the future. And I said, okay, Dave Ramsey talks about, you know, having 3 months worth of expenses, you know, savings. So just in case you lose a job or you get hurt, that's wisdom. See, wisdom is thinking ahead. What's going to happen when it rains? Am I going to go bankrupt? Am I going to lose my home? Or am I going to have enough money to figure this thing out? Wisdom thinks ahead. Wisdom gets an emergency fund. What if you blow a tire? Is that going to ruin you? What if you blow a transmission in your car? Things happen, people. Wisdom says, get wisdom. What does wisdom say? Plan. Plan for those things. Plan for those things. And that's why I say, you take the miracles, and God, I'm not blaspheming you. I just want to say this ahead. Sometimes I know I need a miracle. It's not that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not putting down a miracle. We all do. Things happen. Life is life. But I'd rather live on wisdom than on miracle. Because miracle is day to day, God. But wisdom, lifetime thing. And so he says, instead of chasing a dollar, get wisdom. I've seen people who said to me, Pastor Alex, if I only made $10,000 more a year, I will be okay. And when they make $10,000 more a year, they're just as broke. Why? They spend more now. They never got the wisdom of it. And so Bible says, above all, seek wisdom and understanding. Seek wisdom. And that's, you know why you're blessed today? Because you're coming in hearing this. Young people, you're coming in hearing this. It's not too late. Get wisdom. In the lobby, we have a few books. It's called Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey, who's a Christian. That book transformed our finances. That book is full of wisdom. It explains the Bible of how to treat your finances. Remember last week we saw a video of how Jewish parents teach their kids about money? And that's why they are so financially better than the rest of the world? Bible. Bible. If we run out of books up there, order it on Amazon. Get a book. Read about money. Gain wisdom. There's a crazy verse in the Bible. It says this, wisdom cries out. It says, you fools, come and seek me, and I will give you life. You know today what happens here? Wisdom was crying out. Some of you are going to say, ah, screw this. Great service, Pastor. I felt good. I laughed a little bit, and that's it. Some of you are actually going to do something about it. Some of you are going to figure this out. Put verse number 1, Ephesians 4, 28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather work. Let him work, labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. That's God. You have enough and 25% more to give to those who are in need. That's God right there. That's God's purpose for your finances. Now, if you're poor, does God not love you? Of course he loves you. Are you rich? God does not love you? Of course he loves you. Is there an amount that when you make that, you're not holy anymore? No, there's no such a thing. For one person, it's $15,000 a year. For another, it's $150,000. God doesn't have numbers like that. Okay, this is holy and this is not. No, money is a tool. I'm not preaching greediness here. I'm preaching that God wants you to work and be wise with what he give you. Be a good steward with what he has given you. And work hard and be good steward and have enough for your family and to give. That's God's purpose for your finances. Bless God. Were you blessed by this message? We got 2 minutes. Close your eyes. Did you know that Jesus loves you? He doesn't only want to save you. He wants you to have life to the fullest on earth. Did you know that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life? Do you know Jesus? Is he the Lord of your life? Maybe as a young person, you used to go to church and you gave your life to Jesus, but you backslid away from him. Our vision here at New Life Church is bringing people closer to Jesus. And so I don't want to release you today without giving you an opportunity to respond by giving your life to Jesus. God loves you. Holy Spirit says he's knocking at the door of your heart right now. He says, open your heart and let me in. Maybe you never knew Jesus, and today you say, God, I want to give you a shot. I want to try this Christianity out. Or maybe you used to be a Christian, and today you say, God, I'm coming home. I'm coming home. I've been away from home. I've been a prodigal, or I've just been indifferent or whatever. But I'm coming home. I want to live for you. I want to worship you. I want to learn from your word on every area of my life. I'm going to count to three. And on the count of three, if you would like to give your life to Jesus, raise your hand and raise it high. One, two, three. Please raise your hand. One hand, two hands, three hands, four hands. Five hands. Come on, come on. Come on, church. Celebrate. Woo! Is there one more? The greatest thing we do at New Life Church is bring people into a relationship with God. And you know what? By raising your hand, you're saying to God, I'm ready, God, to come home. You be my father, and I want to be your son or daughter. And God says, he who comes to me, I will never cast them away. Meaning, doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what you've done. He loves you, and he accepts you. I want to pray a prayer with you. Can you repeat after me? Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've done some things. I've been away from you. Maybe I even rebelled against you. Ask you to forgive me. Accept me into your family. I open my heart to you. Ask you to come in. Transform my life and make it new. From this moment on, I believe and I confess that I'm saved. I'm forgiven. All of my sins are forgiven. And I'm at peace with God. I'm not at war with God. I am at peace with God. In Jesus' name, your son. Amen. Clap your hands and bless God.